Welcome to Prestonwood. It's great to see you this morning. Would you stand with us? Let's worship our Jesus together.
Are you past the point of weary? Is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? 'Cause shame's done all its stealing, and you're desperate for some healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way.
Changing Savior, life-giving Savior, a death-defying Savior, who's raised from the grave, raised us from the grave as well, amen? Let's sing. I was buried
beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you.
I was breathing,
but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my
You called my name, you lifted him up. You
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to all of you online. So glad to have you at Prestonwood today. God is going to honor your faith and your faithfulness. The Bible says that He rewards those who diligently seek Him. So thank you for being here today on this day before Memorial Day. And of course, at this day and at this time, we are especially grateful for those who give their lives for our freedom in wars past and even present conflicts. We are so grateful for those who not only have given their lives, of course. Jesus said, greater love has no man than this, but that a man would lay down his life for his friends. And so we honor those fallen soldiers and their families today. Memorial Day is a day that's good for family and cookouts and good times, but let's don't forget to pause and give thanks to God for these who have shown the greater love. And we're so grateful for our military, those who are willing to give their lives even to this day. So if you are a veteran, let's recognize all of our veterans today. And those of you in the military who watch online, we always think of you and pray for you who are serving, and we have a number of people who connect with us in our military. We are now in over 60 countries with the online worship services, and I know we have many of our own members who may be traveling this weekend. We have ended school, and it's a big weekend. So if you're watching online, I got a text from someone between services today. They were saying, they showed me a picture. They were watching the service on the screen, and it was something like they were saying 9 adults, 7 children, and 2 dogs worshiping with you at Prestonwood today. So wherever you are, we're glad that you have joined us. But how we thank God for those who give their lives. And of course, this week has been horrendous with the shooting in Uvalde, and remembering even in recent days and months the shooting at Buffalo, in the grocery store, at the church in Orange County. The violence is increasing. We know this is true, and we're often just speechless to say anything, but God, we need you. And there's no political solutions. We should seek every solution we can find, but ultimately the problem is a sin problem and the evil that runs rampant in the world. And so we pray for our children. We pray for their protection. We pray for our loved ones and our communities all around us in these days. This week at the end of school, several of my grandchildren gathered with their classmates in a hallway on the last day of school, and they were leading times of worship for our children. And I just wept when I saw it. And to think of these precious little children whose lives were cut off, and we're grateful because of Jesus that these are safely in His arms today. But the grief of the parents and the grandparents and the community is great. Same is true in Buffalo. Same is true in Orange County. So we just turn to the Lord and we trust in Him. And we pray God's peace upon those who are hurting. And we need to always be praying for those who are first responders. Their job sometimes can be overwhelming and monumental. And so we pray for not only our veterans and thank God for them, but we're grateful for first responders and those who protect the homeland, both as firefighters and police and other officers of the law, for their protection. We have a great country, but we've got big, big problems in our nation, and only God can provide the answers that we need. So let's pray together. Lord, how grateful we are for this time to worship You. And in times of deepest sorrow and grief and pain, we're so thankful that we can lift our eyes to You and find hope and healing. In the midst of our brokenness, that we can find hope. And we pray, oh God, that those in Uvalde, Buffalo, New York, Orange County, California, and others all across this country and around the world who have experienced violence and pain, I know how that feels. having experienced violence in our home years ago. So I pray for comfort and strength and help to those who are calling out and crying out to you. And may we cover them with love and minute. We thank you for the churches and the people of God who are already in these places serving you and helping people and counseling and all the rest. Lord, we pledge to do everything that we can to come alongside these and resource these and help them. Lord, we thank you for our military and those who serve. And we thank you with gratitude in our hearts for those who have paid the ultimate price in dying for our freedom so that we can live our faith in this great country. Lord, we love America, but right now we're hurting for our country. This is eating at the soul of our country. And so we pray that you would give our leaders solutions and that they would turn to you. And Lord, they would find in you the wisdom that is needed to deal with this unspeakable kinds of wickedness and evil in our world. Lord, now help us to get our eyes on you. Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And we thank you that we can say above all else when we know you that it is well, that it is well with our souls. In Jesus' name. And if you would just remain standing, this song, which is a classic hymn of the faith, was written out of great sorrow. The man who wrote it, 4 daughters died and perished in an accident at sea. He was left alone with his wife and great grief. And out of that great grief, as so many of the songs that we sing are born, came these words, it is well with my soul. Let's sing it.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea below roll, whatever my life, thou turning lives up.
you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop.
My healing, all praise, King Jesus.
Phenomenal and beautiful song. Let's praise the Lord one more time for His goodness, His grace. Thank you, choir and orchestra. Thank you, Caleb, worship leaders, for pointing us to Jesus in times like these. Always, always, we are lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is the one who knows our suffering, our pain, our hurt, our heartache. He is the one who has come to give us life and help and hope now and forever. And this is the essential gospel. Take your Bibles and turn one last time to the book of Romans, at least at this time, one last time, because we are concluding or wrapping up after 15 months. We could go 15 months more, but after 15 months, we are concluding this series of studies in the essential gospel, which is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you say gospel, you say Jesus, because Jesus is the gospel. There's no other gospel apart from Him. Any gospel apart from Jesus Christ is not an essential gospel, but it is an erroneous gospel. So we preach the gospel and proclaim Christ, who died and rose again, that we could have hope, not only now, but forever. And this is our message to the world. And so in signing off, the Apostle Paul concludes with a great doxology, because theology, what we have learned in the letter to the Romans, theology, great truth, always turns to doxology. The more you know about Jesus, the more you know about who God is and what He is like, the more you praise Him, the more you love Him. And so throughout the scriptures, we are admonished to glorify God and to praise Him. And in pouring out our praise, we are exalting Him and elevating Him and esteeming Him to bring glory to God. The title of this message from the 16th chapter of Romans, these last three verses, is "For the Glory." For the glory. In Latin, soli Deo gloria. For the glory of God. You were made for His glory. You were created, made by Him, even knitted in your mother's womb, to give glory to God all the days of your life. In fact, the Westminster Catechism or Confession of Faith puts it this way: the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Amen. We have a saying here at Prestonwood. We repeat it again and again, and that is excellence in all things, all that we do, excellence. And all things to the glory of God, for His glory. It's all about Him and to the praise of His name, everything that we do in life. The scriptures tell us that whatever you do in word and deed, do it all for the glory of God. Your life is to be lived as an act of worship, all of us. Worship is not something we do and we stand together and sing alone, but it is the way of life for the Christian. We all, always, at all times, are to glorify God in good days and bad days. In pain, there is still praise and the worship of our God, who is all wise and all knowing. The great preacher of Britain, Charles Spurgeon, put it this way, that God is too good to be unkind, and He is too wise to be mistaken. And when you cannot trace His hand, trust His heart. Amen. We glorify God in all things. And so after all these words given to us, the word of truth, Paul concludes beginning in verse 25. Now to Him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but now has been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith to the only wise God, be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. Which means yes. Amen. I believe it. And so after all these days and months that we have shared together in the book of Romans, we are pouring out our praise because of all that he is and all that he has done. Remember in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, he says that in view of these things, because of these mercies, it is the logical, reasonable thing to do, to offer your life as a living sacrifice to God, who is your reasonable service or your reasonable worship. My prayer is that after this time that we have shared together in these studies of Romans, that we will never be the same. We will never be the same. And our praise of God and our proclamation of this good news, this gospel of Jesus Christ, will be more effervescent, more infused with spiritual power than ever before. The last time we were together, the words of Paul in 16 said, "May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you." And it is my prayer that God's grace will be with us always. And he moves from grace to glory because grace produces glory for God in our hearts. "May God strengthen you and establish you," he says in verse 25. And this is always my desire as a preacher of Christ and a teacher of God's word, that we would be always established in our faith. That's the word stelrizo, which means strengthened in faith. That to the very core, we would be firm and strong. You know, it's very important for an athlete, really all of us, to take care of our core physically. For the strength is in the core. An athlete, you know, make sure that there is core strength, because that's where the balance is, that's where the speed is, that's where the strength is. So Paul is saying that we would all be at the core, strong and powerful in Jesus Christ. And that we would be established in him, firm on the foundation which is in Christ. So that we will not be blown away when tragedy comes, when trouble strikes. So that we will stand firm when there are questions that we cannot answer. And yet our faith is founded not upon men, but upon Christ. Men will let you down. If you put your faith, establish your faith upon teachers or preachers or another Christian, even your parents, if you put your faith upon anyone or anything but the Lord Jesus Christ, your faith may fail. But when we place our faith upon Christ and Christ alone, when we are established in him, again, we are stable. We are strengthened in the inner person. Sola de la gloria, to the glory of God. So let us be established in this. This doxology that we read here, this beautiful praise, I hear crashing cymbals and drum rolls when I read this, because Paul is just pouring out this orchestrated praise, this beautiful praise to God. The psalmist said, "Whoever offers praise," what? "Glorifies me." Whoever praises God glorifies God. Our lives should be one perpendicular, powerful praise unto God. And This praise, this doxology that we read here is a crescendo. And it is in effect, in closing this great letter to the Romans, it is a reprise of all the lyrics of life that the apostle has been giving us here, that we would be established on Christ our Lord. His strength is our stability. I've been reminding myself this week, in the midst of all the confusion and chaos and tears and sorrow and death, I've been reminding myself of 1 Corinthians 15:58, to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, for you know your labor in the Lord is not in vain. That's what it means to be established in the Lord, to be strong in the Lord. And there's no way to be strong and established, stable, sane in an insane world, stable in a world that is being rocked, is the Word of God. The only perfect thing on earth is this book. Did you know that? The only perfect thing on earth is the Word of God. And we have God's pure and perfect Word. And this is how we are strengthened and established. This is why we gather each week, to open God's Word. We get in small groups to share God's Word together. We open God's Word and we are established. We are strengthened. And therefore, this beautiful testimony of the gospel, this truth of Jesus Christ, we want the whole world to know. And this is what Paul is saying here when he speaks of my gospel. When Paul said, this is my gospel, he was not saying that this is my gospel as compared to Peter's gospel or the Apostle John's gospel, or certainly not the gospel of Jesus. He is saying, my gospel is the gospel of Jesus Christ, but it is mine in that I have believed it and have received it, this message of hope. And when we look at the book of Romans, if I could just give you a bit of a reprise as Paul is giving us here at the end. Remember, there are primarily three sections in the letter to the Romans. There is what you would call first chapter 1, 2, and 3, guilt, that all the world is guilty before God. And then the next chapters, chapters 4 through 9 is all about grace and God's grace. And then with an interlude describing God's working in history, that God is not finished and through with the Jew, that God is working a plan, an ultimate plan of consummating the ages through both Jews and Gentiles. And then in chapters 12 through 16, this is all about growth. So you have guilt, you have grace, you have growth. You have, as someone put it, you have bad news, you have good news, and then you have news you can use. How you live out and grow up in this grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is sin, chapters 1 through 3. There is salvation, chapters 4 through 9. And there is service and sanctification and growing in your faith in the chapters that we've been covering since chapter 12. There is a cosmic spiritual battle raging. Behind what happened in Buffalo, behind what happened in Uvalde, what happens in the streets of America and homes and families and around the world, what is happening around the world began before time began. When one of the created beings of God, Lucifer, the son of the morning, sought to steal the glory of God. And before there was ever rebellion on earth, there was revolt in heaven. Because Satan said, I will exalt myself above the throne of God. stealing the glory of God. He thought he was bigger than God, greater than God, more glorious than God. As a result, Satan and one-third of the heavenly host who joined this war against the Most High God were cast out of heaven, but not yet to hell. Because now Satan is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, roaring. And so the battle that was in heaven moved to earth. And when God created the man and the woman, Satan slithered into the garden and tempted the man and the woman. You will be like God. Again, to steal the glory of God. If you eat of the fruit, God knows that you do what he tells you to do. He's keeping his thumb on you. He's holding you back. And he knows that if you eat of this fruit, you will have knowledge and perfect wisdom. And God is holding out on you. He said, has God said, is it really true, this word? And the man and the woman ate the cheese. They actually bit the fruit. But they fell right into the trap, and the war was on. And evil and sin entered into the world. And what we see in these first chapters of Romans, my gospel, Paul says, is the world wrecked by sin and brokenness. And the result is fear and anger and loneliness, both among godless people, pagans, if you will, and religious people. And Paul makes the case that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The entire world is cursed by this sin, and the wages of sin is death. But then he says, and this is Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus our Lord. There are consequences in the world and in our lives because of bad behavior, sinful behavior, and it impacts us all. Let's quit saying when someone does the wrong thing, well, he's got a good heart. That's the very thing that is wrong with us, is our heart. The scripture says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, desperately, deadly sick. Who can know it? People say, well, if I know my own heart. Don't say that. This is why we need a heart transplant. We need a new heart, because the heart is wicked and our lives are broken. And therefore, the wages of sin is death and all that goes with it. People are living in death and acting like hell. That's what's wrong with the world. And no amount of good works or spiritual, religious ladder climbing can save a person from their own sin. We're all guilty. We're all broken. We're all lost. But Paul says, my gospel brings salvation in Christ. What did God do? God was not caught off guard in the sinfulness and the wickedness of man, the men and women that he made. He was not surprised. God had a plan. The Lamb of God, Jesus, was slain before the foundation of the world. So in the infinite heart and mind of God, the God who is glorious, who reigns in glory, the old preacher was asked, where was God when he made the heavens and the earth? Where was he? They said, we don't know. He said he was in his glory. So God in his glory, in his providential and sovereign care, had a plan. He was not caught off guard. God loves the people he has made. God loves the world. God loves you. And so Paul said, my gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is that he sent his son on a mission to get right in the middle of the battle, right in the war. He came and lived among us. Satan tried to take him out early in the wilderness, remember? Said, bow down to me, worship me, and you can skip all the other stuff, the cross and the pain and the suffering. Just bow down. Again, Satan attempting to rob God of his glory. But Jesus did not take the bait. He was tempted in all points as we are tempted, and yet without sin. He never sinned. Now hear me say that, because that's what the Bible says. He is without sin. I just read a statistic this week that 37%, nearly 40% of Gen X, which are young people about 22 to, I don't know, 12 or 13 right now, do not believe that Jesus was sinless. That's on the parents, that's on the preachers, that's on all of us. So when I say Jesus was sinless, don't just say, oh, well, everybody knows that. Not everybody knows that. And not everybody believes that. But the sinless Son of God went to the cross and died. The battle was engaged. The terms of engagement took Christ to the cross, where he bled out, suffocated, and died. And every drop of his blood saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. Romans 5:8, a core established and essential doctrine of the faith. God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Not only for us, but as us. He took our sin and our judgment and our wickedness. He died. And this is why Romans 6:23 goes on to say, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The free gift of God is eternal life. This is salvation. When Jesus cried out to Telestai, it is finished. The mission was accomplished at the cross. I saw Satan falling like lightning from heaven. The devil was defeated. And when Christ rose again, there is now life. And therefore, in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, remember this? Therefore, if you are justified in Christ, we then have peace with God. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The peace is declared. And we are now in Christ because of what Christ has done for us. We are justified, meaning that we are acquitted of our sin. And it means that we are approved by God, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. My gospel. Paul said it. I say it again today. This is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope you can say it is my gospel, because Jesus is my Savior and my Lord. We are justified. And then the battle continues all around us. And we live now in enemy territory. Do you understand this? Satan was defeated at the cross. We are saved by his blood. But Satan has not gone away. There is this mystery of iniquity, why sin continues to exist, why evil is allowed. We don't know all the answers to this, of course. And if we knew, it probably wouldn't help settle some of the questions that rise. But we're in a battle. It's called spiritual warfare. We are engaging the enemy and the work of the enemy in the lives of people all around us, in the culture, in the cities, in the homes, and in the families. And then Paul spoke of this battle even that is within us in the seventh chapter when he says, my flesh, I do what I don't want to do, and I don't do what I want to do. Who will deliver me from this body of death? But then he says, thanks be unto God who has given us victory in our Lord Jesus Christ. And from there, the gospel moves to the great eighth chapter of Romans, which begins with no condemnation and concludes with no separation. These bookends and all that goes with it between. Romans 8 describes our winning strategy in this battle for life. That there is no condemnation. We no longer live condemned by our sin, living in shame, no condemnation. And when Satan lies, we don't believe his lies. We believe what God has said. Amen. There is no condemnation and no separation from the love of God. What shall separate us from God's love? Height or depth? Created things, angel beings, height, depth, no created thing, nothing will separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And in this battle that we are facing today, we know, according to Romans 8, the gospel, that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. That if God be for us, who can be against us? This is our victory in Jesus, and this Spirit-filled life. The Spirit of God is within us when we pray as our prayer partner. So God is working perfectly. He is a good God. He does good. He is good. And according to Romans 8:28, he is working all things together for the good to those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. That is his glory, his plan in their lives. For everything that happens in the life of the believer, it is for God's glory and for our good. Because God gives us victory in Christ. And after the interlude of God working in history in chapters 9 and 10, he speaks of this salvation and how we can experience it. He said, if you will confess with your mouths the Lord Jesus, Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you confess with your mouths the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness. And he says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. In just a few moments, I'm going to be inviting you, calling you to trust in Christ and invite Christ into your life and to publicly own him and know him as your Lord and Savior. This is the gospel. In that same Romans chapter 10, he says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God, this perfect word of God. Faith comes by hearing God's word. And then he adds, but how will they believe? How will they hear? How will they believe unless there's someone to tell them? Unless there's a preacher, a witness, someone who knows this gospel, who in the power of the Holy Spirit is willing to give out this gospel. And that's not just for those of us who stand and preach on Sundays or otherwise, but for all of us. The world is waiting for this message. We know that the answer to all of these questions that we have today are not solved politically or socially or educationally. We need God and his gospel. We need the glory of God to reign in the hearts of his people, that we would be tenacious and triumphant in sharing our faith in Jesus Christ. What did the apostle say at the very outset of Romans 1? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. So we're not ashamed of this gospel. This is why we don't need another progressive gospel. We don't need a diluted gospel. We don't need a dismissive gospel. We don't need the devil's gospel. We need the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus is the only one who can save. So we're not ashamed. And in Romans 12, we're called to live lives of surrender and sacrifice. This is the news you can lose, or not lose, but use. We live in humility. Romans 12, one of the great chapters in the Bible. We live in humility. We live to do what is honorable. Remember what we read in verse 9. We abhor, that is, what is evil. We detest evil. And we cherish and cling to what is good. We overcome evil with good. Romans 12, 21. We're not overcome by evil, but we overcome evil with good. And there's no greater good than sharing and living the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because remember, you are the only gospel that some people will read. I go on in Romans 12. We love God's people, His church. We're gifted by God. We receive these gifts of the Holy Spirit, that we might serve Him in His church, to be involved, to be engaged. We are awake and not woke. Remember that? And the alert is called in the 12th chapter, that we are to wake up and discard the deeds of darkness. And in this battle, put on the armor of light, making no provision for the flesh, but to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We are men and women under authority, the Lordship of Christ, Romans 14, 8. For whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. We are all about hope and being the people of hope. In Romans 15, 13, that the God of hope may fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you, by the power of the Holy Spirit, would abound in hope, overflow with hope. And that implies overflowing with hope into the world. We are the people of hope, where there is no hope. And we keep fighting for the faith. We keep contending, because we know that there are those who oppose this gospel, and there are false teachers. We keep the faith, because one day Jesus is coming, and He will soon crush Satan beneath your feet and be glorified forever. So no wonder Paul exclaims. No wonder Paul praises God for the glory of the only wise God. Remember, he is writing to Romans in the Greco-Roman world as well, where there were many gods, all of them foolish gods, the gods of this world, but the only wise God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is good news, that God loves you, that He has an eternal plan for your life, that He gave His Son for you, that He will forgive you. He will change your life and your legacy. No matter how much you may have sinned, no matter how far lost you have been, the gospel, the essential, eternal gospel, Jesus will change your life. Jesus died so that you could be forgiven. Jesus lives so that you may live. His word is true. When Paul talks about this secret that is revealed, it means that in the beginning, God is manifesting His will. It's not a secret like a mystery that you can't solve. The mystery of God is that God progressively and perfectly revealed His will, and now this is an open secret We now know that God loves not only Jews and religious people of all kinds, but God loves the world. God loves people like you and me. Yes and amen. Heaven is real. Satan is crushed. Jesus is coming again. God's Spirit is alive in us. We are preserved and protected and secure and strengthened at the core. We live and we love and we serve and we give all to the glory of God. Amen. To God be the glory. Great things He has done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life an atonement for sin and opened the life gate that all may go in. Say it with me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Amen and amen. Would you stand with me, please? Everyone standing online, on your screen, wherever you are, I'm going to invite you to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, to hear this good news, to receive God's love and His life for you. Wherever you are, just bow your head right here in this room, in your living room, looking at a screen, walking, listening on a walk in the park. Just bow your head right now and say, Lord Jesus, I believe in my heart that You died for me and rose again, that my sin has broken me, but Your love will save me. So Jesus, I invite You to come into my life. Heal my heart, change my heart. Forgive my sin. Heal the brokenness and the bitterness. So many people are so broken and so bitter today. The source of that, all the evil in the world and in you and me, is sin. We've got a sin problem. And the only solution for the sin problem is for you right now to ask Jesus to come into your life. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Be my Savior and my Lord. I do trust You now and forever. And then say, praise You, Lord Jesus, for allowing me to hear this word, to trust in You. And now let me glorify You. Let me honor You and please You all the days of my life, beginning today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you're watching online, text in to this number, 74788, the word Jesus. 74788. There's someone standing by. When you click in, when you connect with us, you text in J-E-S-U-S, Jesus, to 74788. We're standing by to encourage you, to help you, to pray with you, to answer questions as best we can from God's Word. And do it now. Do it right now. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. This is God's moment. This is the miracle you've been waiting for in your life. Right here in this room, if you are praying to receive Christ, or you're trusting in Christ as your Savior, you prayed that prayer with me just a moment ago. You invited Jesus into your life, and you mean it. And because you mean it, you want to come forward and honor and glorify God. Your coming forward today will be an act of worship when you say, Lord, I come to You. I confess You. I'm following You. The pastors of our church will be here at the front and upstairs in the balcony. So just go to one of these men and say, I'm trusting Christ. If you want to know more, maybe you're not sure if you're ready, you don't understand it, and if you wait till you understand it all, you'll never come. You must come like a little child, Jesus said, and be converted. And so with childlike faith, first steps of faith, come. And if you have questions, again, we'll answer your questions as best we can, but come, don't go away without Jesus in your life. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Will you be saved today? Lord, may it be true. May it be so in people's lives. Help them to do right now what they'll be so glad that they've done when they stand before you in glory in heaven. Amen and amen.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text Jesus to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text the word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.